Just saying, I just listened the first verse. Everything is so perfect to what I've been thinking about all week. First of all, this is not the sermon, so don't get distracted. You know, when I say this, and then you think that I went off on a rabbit trail. This is not the sermon. I just like to recognize the hospitality committee. And for, whether it's a committee or one person, there's a plea for more. You can't imagine how important this is. I'm going to help you with it, and you're going to read a verse from Scripture here in just a second about the importance of hospitality. And also I'd like to thank them. I'd like to thank the song leaders, the leading us in the songs today, and especially 2 weeks ago. Just is so important that we speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what it is to be filled with the Spirit. That's when we're full of the word, when we're delighting in the Word of God. That's the overflow. And so I praise the Lord and thank the Lord for them. The hospitality committee, listen to this. I used to pray this over my daughter Stephanie every night before she was old enough to understand. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15 says, I urge you, brethren, to know the household of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Devoted themselves, addicted themselves. Just something they can't stop. And so, you also would submit to such. Who's real, real leaders? And to everyone who works and labors among us. And so, I want to pray. Thank you for the hospitality committee. I've called on a few of our elderly saints, and they're so thankful that someone remembered them with flowers and gifts, and to come and bringing them to them and to think of them in that way. And so we want to make it your responsibility, if you're not on, going to join the committee, to know who's on it and do what it says. Write it down, circle it in your Bible, you know, keep going back here. I urge you that you know them. They devoted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And submit yourselves to such, and join them in the work. I went to a funeral yesterday, and whenever I go to a funeral, when I pray all during it that for souls that'll be there. The Ecclesiastes chapter 7 says that it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of mirth, because that's the end of all men. And I went and I listened, and I heard person after person, grandchildren especially, say that their grandmother left this: the greatest blessing is relationships to one another, and to be able to love and to care for each other is the greatest thing in life. It's the best thing they had. They sang a song at the end that said something like this: she loved everyone, she loved the Lord, but what's she done, what she was known for is what she's done, who she's cared for. Say she loved those she's cared for, will say she loved more than anything else. And so that was very good for me, because the passage where we are today in our commitments of the disciple is around the commitment to love. And the first commitment of the disciple was a commitment to the lordship of Jesus Christ. The second commitment was the commitment to the commandments and continuing in them. That's a commitment. That's the difference between a commitment and a convenience. A conviction and a convenience. A conviction is something that it doesn't matter how we feel. We do it whether we feel it or not. And so Jesus said, that's the high esteem that we hold him and his words in. And then this one on love. And I thought it was really something that the two are very connected. In Mark chapter 12, verse 29, a lot of times we like the idea of love more than we like the idea of commandments. But what's the difference? Jesus said, this is the commandment that I leave to you, that you love one another. So do we really like the idea of love better than the idea of commandments? In Mark chapter 12, verse 29, when asked what the greatest commandment was, it says, which is first of all the commandments? Jesus answered, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. And it's this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandments greater than these. It's kind of, to me, I'm like, it's like Jesus took the Ten Commandments and he put Roman numeral number one, however you'd outline your outlines. And one is love God. And then the first four commandments are the, what, you know, just how you do it, what it looks like. And then next is love your neighbor as yourself. And the next six have to do with loving your neighbor. So we delight in being loved, right? Yeah, well, we should anyway. There's nothing like being loved, you know. And we should revel in the love of God. But it's funny that we don't, or else why would Jude have to give us the commandment? Keep yourselves in the love of God. It isn't like God's love is like we can get out of bounds of it. God's love is being poured out upon us continually, but we're just keep ourselves in the awareness of it. Because we run out of love for each other. Or we think we do. It's impossible. We've already received with an overflow. So we have to keep ourselves in that awareness of that. And so I want us to consider that for the next few weeks. Life is all about learning to love. The purpose of your time on earth is not primarily about acquiring possessions, attaining status, achieving success, or even experiencing happiness. Rick Warren says that those are secondary issues. Life is all about love and developing relationships. Relationships with God. Relationships with other people. You may succeed in many areas, but if you fail to learn how to love God and love others, you'll have missed the reason that God created you and placed you on this planet in the first place. Learning to love is life's most important lesson. Jesus called it the greatest commandment. So, if you see in the bulletin in the back, there's the verses from John chapter 13, and we want to go there. John 13. And verse 31, it's kind of neat, makes it easy, right? We are looking at John 8, 31 and 32. How shall people know you are my disciples? John 8, 31, he says, by keeping his commandments. The one who abides in his word, who keeps his commandments. Those are the disciples what? Indeed. They're not the disciples in word only, the ones who are doers. You know, there's just something about that being rock steady and just keep on doing, right? Doesn't get a whole lot of fanfare, but it's what it is. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's loving God. And so Jesus said, the one who keeps my commandments remains in, he is my disciple indeed. And then here, verse 31, so, Yeah, that's verse 31. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify in him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer, and you will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. And so now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Let's pray. Father, we need your Holy Spirit to open our hearts up to your love, so that it will be our eyes will see that it is our greatest treasure, our supreme joy. That to fall short would be, as we just read, to miss the purpose for being here. And so I pray, Father, that we will realize today, as we look into your word, what privileged characters we are. And that we will also realize what a great responsibility we bear as a result. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message, if you have your, it's in your bulletin, and those verses I just read are there, is exclusive membership. Badge of honor or certificate of death? Badge of honor. Love is our badge of honor, if you will. It's like the sheriff wearing his badge. It gave him authority. It was set him apart as a representative of the government. And for us, love is the badge that sets us apart, that gives us authority. But exclusive membership, a badge of honor, like we have the star of love, we're stars in loving, or a death certificate. Listen to what, just a page over from where we read it, Jesus said in John 15:13. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, to lay his life down for a friend." How can you love as Jesus did? There's only one way. You got to die. On the way here today, we drove past the sportsman's show thing, and they were stopping some of the traffic and turning us in there. And I told Melissa, I said, "Oh, I'd like to turn in." And then I was like, "No, I wouldn't." But I just, to illustrate, I'm not on this earth to please me. I thought that would make me happy, right? And a lot of people would reason, well, that's how I know God loves me. He would, you know, he put me on the road, and the sportsman's thing was right there, and I could go in and please myself. No, of Jesus it was said, even the Lord Jesus himself pleased not himself, but the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. That he bore our sins for himself, and for in himself on the cross. So exclusive membership, a badge of honor, or a death certificate. The reason I come up with that is because I thought about the church, and it is an exclusive membership. The church is a real, truly, a church is a private party. And so, and I'm going to explain that some more, but in a bit. But with that, I decided to Google that, and so I Googled it, and it said, and it come up with the 10 most exclusive clubs. I couldn't believe it; the church wasn't there. In the little article before the Google's 10 most exclusive clubs, they said some of the things that they have in common, two things, is that it's a members only, there's ID required, and then usually It is many dollars. The people who are members are extremely wealthy, and that sets them apart from everyone else, makes them special. How about you? Blessed with every blessing in the heavenly places, wealth beyond measure. Jesus said, you are his inheritance, and he said, he is your inheritance. Paul said that everything that belongs to Jesus is yours. Why would we be distracted by that? But anyway, I digress. The second thing in common of these exclusive clubs is lineage. I thought, isn't that something? The people who are in are special because of who went before them, who earned the money, and then they keep it. It's kind of a funny thing. It's sort of like the prodigal son. He would have fit in, right? He was been part of the exclusive club. He had the right. He had the money. Had the right lineage until what? Until it ran out. He didn't even have any friends then. One of the names of one of the exclusive clubs is the Dracula Ghost Riders Club. I just thought that was cool because I had already had in my sermon title Badge of Honor or Death Certificate, and so I thought I have to share with you Dracula. But the church is not on the list. But think about it. Think about your lineage, first of all. We are the sons of God. We've been adopted into the family of Christ. The King of Kings is our brother, or the husband, and we are his precious bride. The church isn't on the list, the lineage. And how about the fee? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 9, it says, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich beyond measure, he gave up it all, and he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. And how rich are we? Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul told the leaders of the church, he said, you guys guard, protect the church, watch over them, which God has purchased with his own blood. What kind of price can you put on that? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 said, you are not bought with gold and silver. But he said, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a lamb without spot before the foundation of the world. The church is an exclusive membership indeed. You are in and chosen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, it says, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirits, which are God's. You are God's. We belong to God. And then in John chapter 15, verse 13, which I just read to you, you are greater love hath no man than this, than he lays down his life for a friend. And that was the cost that he paid. The personal cost is to wear the badge of love. And it costs to wear the badge of love. You're not a vigilante with the badge on. You know, the person with the badge has to submit to the badge. The law man has to obey the law. Oh, there's rogues, but we're not them, right? So we won't even go into that. So to wear the badge of love costs a lot, right? What it cost him, we just reflected on that. What does it cost us? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 31, I die daily. What's that all about? 2 Corinthians, and I'd like you to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is a chapter which you should be immersed in. Last week I mentioned this chapter to you when I said that, you know, the Word of God is just so great. It gives us the ability to see the best investments, to see eternity, to see invisible things. Well, here, before that, in chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10, it says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That just doesn't sound good, does it? always? That the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. How are you going to show the love of Christ? How did Christ show his love for you? Yeah, he died for us. And how do we show our life love for him? We die for him. We die daily. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. What does it take to wear the badge of love? It takes dying. It takes dying to me. There's another way of putting it. You know, there's nothing lost in this. Don't look so sad. There's nothing lost. The assurance of life. That was one of the things that struck me at that funeral the other day, that some of the people, there were people there who weren't believers, and one even stood up and said so. And said, you know, but what she could not deny was the reality of faith and love manifested through Grandma. So there's nothing lost in this dying. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. When the cross is doing its having this good effect in us, bearing your cross is like the love badge. It's only as I die to myself can I love you. Otherwise, I'll always choose me. It's tough. So there's nothing lost. It's the assurance of life. It's amazing how many people, you know, when they remember, they're like, their assurance that their loved one is in heaven. And I'm like, wow, because this isn't, you know, from a theological standpoint. Their assurance that their loved one is in heaven was because their loved one loved. By this shall all men know you're my disciples, by your love one for another. So there's nothing lost. It gives us assurance of life. In Romans 12:1, it's just presented a little different. You present yourself as a living sacrifice. But it's a sacrifice. You have to lay it down and give it away, or else it's not a sacrifice. We have to keep laying it down. It's the exchanged life. We exchange life with God. We exchange death with God, and we exchange life with God. When we exchange life with God, then we can say, like Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ. Who lives the Christian life? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Good news. Yet not I. Oh, there I'm dead again. But Christ liveth in me, and the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and what? Gave himself for me. He died for me. And so I die to me, for him, and for one another. And when we do that in the church, it becomes an attractive place. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I mentioned that last week in Philippians chapter 3. Paul said, I count everything that I always considered to be gain before Christ, I count all of those accolades and diplomas and certificates. I trade them all in for one certificate that's really going to matter, and that's my death certificate. Paul said that, it's stamped this on me. I am dead and alive in Christ. So exclusive membership equals members. You know, the whole idea of that thing as I read it was their members are something special. It's cool. They buy their way in so they can feel special. You know, they spend millions to be part of a group and feel special. Does that tell you something about human nature? Yeah. In the church, there's an exclusive, members are something special. But it's not because you're smarter or you're smart enough to make that smart choice. Oh, no. And it's a really wonderful thing when we make the choice, right, to receive Christ. But it's not because you're smarter. You're not special because you are smarter, smart enough to make the smart choice. You're special because you are desperate enough to make the hard choice. The hard choice. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the bankrupt. Blessed are the ones that know that they have absolutely nothing to offer to God. And so they go to God with their hands empty, wide open. They are blessed because, like it says in Psalm 32, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven. Not the man who pretends he doesn't have any, but the man whose sins are forgiven. And he realizes that in that, he has the greatest treasure ever. Again, purchased with the blood of Christ. It's stated this way in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. We've been called up to be like Jesus. We've been called to bless. He has called you, it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, to be a blessing. And then he says, why? Because you've already been blessed. God never asks us to do what he hasn't already done. We are special because you're desperate enough to make the hard choice. To turn your back on you. You are my disciples, and you prove it by your love one for another. And the only way that that ever happens, we turn your back on you. You turn away from me first. You turn away from self-love and from self-worship. You only worship if you love first. So you love Jesus and you worship him. If you love yourself and you refuse for that thing to die, you're worshiping what? Yeah. Don't believe that stuff about you've got to have this self-love thing before you can love others. You know what that'll end up in? Never loving anybody. Because self is a bottomless pit, and you'll never be able to fill it. It never gets enough of loving itself. And so when you think you got to love yourself before you can love someone else in that way, it's just never going to happen. But when we love Jesus as Jesus loved us, then we do for Jesus what Jesus did for us. He died for us, and we die with him, and we willingly surrender ourselves. That's what Romans 12:1 is all about. Presenting your body a living sacrifice, acceptable. It's being, and as it ends in verse 2, it's being absolutely convinced that his will is good, acceptable, and perfect. Why would I want anything else? If God tells me no, when he first tells me no, I'm gonna rephrase my question. But when God tells me no, and he tells me no again, and he tells me no again, and if I keep asking, what does that tell me? It tells me that I really don't believe God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect in my sober moment. And so, to where the badge of honor, which is love. You wear that badge and you go out from the church and everybody knows that you are Jesus' disciples because you love the people in there. Like, they're the hardest ones of all to love, right? Like, some of them aren't, but nobody wants to smile on that one, I know, but there's always somebody, in the church. I actually believe this. I really believe this, that the person that I want to be around the least, or the person that I want to avoid, the person that I want to avoid is the person I need the most when I'm thinking soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil age. We are Christians. We're known by our love. But not by love that's like theirs. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The world will say to you, well, you don't really love me if you don't love me like I love myself, like they love. But Jesus, through John, answered that. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the love of the world, everything that's in the world is not of the Father and is passing away. And if you love it, listen, look, get the picture. If you embrace it, where are you going? You're going with it. It's passing away. It's not moving into eternal bliss. It's passing away. So they know we are Christians by our love, but not by because we love like they love. Our badge of honor is the star of love. We're stars. We're stars at it. We're love stars. And it's just such a thing that that the only way that you can really become a love star or star at love is to have had your death certificate signed. The proof of ID is love, and the proof of love is death. Jesus proved it first, right? He said the servant can't be greater than the master. It's enough if we be like him. In this? Yeah. Because then we're really living life to its fullest. In John chapter 13, before Jesus told them that, I mentioned that it's always what he commands he already gives. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he should depart from this world and go to the Father, he knew his hour had come. He knew that wasn't good news, right? The way that it comes. Like Melissa and I share this quite often. I'm not afraid to die. It's the way we die. We'd like to be able to choose that. Be in the Twin Towers on floor 106. And you're in heaven. Just a minute ago I was writing down and I'm in heaven. Well, yeah. But that's not the way that it is for most. And the way that it is for all is the way that we most glorify God. God chooses the way that we die. And this, I don't know about you, but this is something I have to pray about. My grandma had Alzheimer's, and they diagnosed her when she was 81 years old, and she lived to be 94. And you say, why? It's okay to say it, I guess, as long as we accept it. And so what we better do, because for each of us, by this shall all men know if you're my disciple, when we go into those places where those people are, there's people there, lost as they can be, that we're either moving them, every single person you meet, by the way, you're either moving them by your action and reaction, you're moving them one step closer to God, or one step away. You're making it easier for them to believe that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect, that God is loving in this, or you're making it hard for them to believe. Jesus says he knew what was coming, and it says, what's the emphasis? Having loved his own, he loved who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He wore the badge to his own first and his own first before others and before ourselves. It says he loved them to the end. That's commitment. It wasn't convenient to love these guys. Just a few hours later, they all what? Abandoned him. You say, well, you know, yeah, right. I do know. If that was me or that was you, they betrayed him. Who wants that? But Jesus proved that he had the ID, the badge of love, by his being willing to die to himself. And what's our response? I already read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10. We who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, so that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. You could just replace life for love, right? For the love also of Jesus will be manifest in our body. What's it take? It just takes putting our hands there and saying, drive the nails. You're like, yeah, it just takes that. Like that would be easy for me. But that's what we're talking about. Love, it's not easy. You know, sometimes it just feels really easy. I remember, and this goes to show that I don't have dementia, because I can remember when Melissa and I got married, and I thought that was easy to love. There she comes, bring her on. I'm ready to love her. That the life also of Jesus might, we are delivered unto death, that the life of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal body. Therefore, we practice like Paul, 1 Corinthians 15:31. I die daily. I just keep on. This has to be. Therefore, but he doesn't ask of us what he hasn't given us first. Isn't that great? That's where we started. He gives his life, or he gives his love, he gives in death, and then we experience that, and we live through him. He doesn't ask of us what he hasn't first given. He gave us by example. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says that Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Now, look, we can't follow in his steps, his suffering that pays for atonement for people's sins, right? It's not talking about that. It can't be. So what's it talking about? All the rest of the suffering that life has to offer. It's an example that we should follow in his steps. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul takes it a step further, if you can take it a step further than that, when he says, even hereunto were you called, that you not only that you believe on his name, but that you suffer for it. Suffering is a demonstration of love. It's worth dying for. The greatest challenge and the greatest hindrance to bearing and wearing the love badge then is a living choice, right? It is. I must have lost you. It's a great challenge. It's a hindrance. The choice to live for me or not to live for me. That's the daily, the hourly, the moment by moment question. It'd be nice if it could just be a daily one even, right? Just make it in the morning and but then things happen with that person right beside us that we love. Here she comes down the aisle. Now, here she is. It's a choice to live for me or not to live for me. That is the question. And it gets asked of me moment by moment. It's another way of saying everyone will know you by your badge of honor. Is it me first, or is it like in 1 Peter chapter 2? Honor all the brethren. And then in the passage there is in a discussion about working for people who just are abusive. And it says, honor all men. Peter lived under a government that was abusive. All the disciples would be killed but one. Honor all men. And that's how we show each other that we love them in the church. We give each other the example. You don't become a Christian by loving, but instead we love because we have received love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. Heavenly Father, you've left us without excuse. We don't want to make excuses. We want to revel in your love for us. We want to see beyond now to the glories as Jesus did, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. And now we want to consider him, lest we be weary and faint in our souls. What an honor to wear the badge of love. We are your disciples if we continue in your word and deed. Your word is our death certificate. The end of an old life that was worthless. To live a life that is worth to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.